Alcibiades, however, wasn't going to be welcome in Sparta much longer. When Agis caught him having sex with his wife, this is not a good thing, Alcibiades was forced to leave and fled to Asia Minor. He was running out of options now, and so he began to plan a recall to Athens. Now, only a change in government could allow him to return. After all, the democracy had wanted to put him on trial, and he had fled while he was being escorted back to Athens for that trial. He evidently couldn't return under a democracy, but a change in government, well, that was a different thing. And so, in the ineptitude of the democracy that led to the Sicilian disaster and Alcibiades' desire to return home, we get the genesis of the oligarchic coup that Athens suffered in 411. Now, for some time, there had been an element in Athenian political life that desired some restrictions on the power of the people. I'm not just talking about the Areopagus here. And that's why in 413, a committee had been set up of 10 men. This committee was called the Probuloi. And they had some sort of decision-making power. We can't say they were oligarchs by any means, and the assembly still met and functioned as before. But the establishment of the Probuloi indicated that even among Athenians, there were some who knew that the democracy wasn't running the war properly. Now, in the same year, in 411, and before the coup, Aristophanes produced his comedy, The Lysistrata. It was in a genre called old comedy that has as its emphasis sexual innuendo and scatological humor. And here I move to the second part of my lecture now about the play and especially how it's an exciting window into what the Athenians were thinking about at this time. Now, the plot of the play is famous. Lysistrata is a well-to-do Athenian lady, and she persuades all the women of Greece, not just the Athenians, but all the women of Greece, to go on a sex strike until the men make peace and so bring the Peloponnesian War to an end. So in other words, all women refuse to have sex with all men until the war comes to an end. Now, the comedy is very funny for obvious reasons, and we don't have time really to go into that in this lecture. You should try and read it for yourself sometimes. But like all of Aristophanes' plays, it has a serious element to it. Clearly, it's an anti-war play. There's no question about that. But it's echoing popular sentiments in wanting peace to end the war and to help rebuild finances which have taken a hammering. But it's also possible that this comedy is meant to foreshadow the oligarchy. And what I mean by this is that in the play, Lysistrata and the women barricade themselves on the Acropolis. This is the citadel of Athens, as we know. When the men rush to expel them, Lysistrata is defiant in telling the Probulos, that's the leader of the men, that women can run the state better than men can. After all, says Lysistrata, women run their households efficiently and effectively, and so they could manage the city, the polis, in the same way. In the process, says Lysistrata, the women could weed out corruption in society just as they do when they spin wool. In other words, out of the dirty and entangled state in which they get the wool, there's probably a technical term for wool at this stage, I don't know it, but out of this state, they stretch it out, they spin it, and they produce this beautiful, clean product. So goodness knows what they could achieve if they applied the same, say, methodology to running society. What Lysistrata is saying is that a different regime could run the polis better, given that the democracy has ruined the treasury, that it's depleted Athenian manpower, and that it's been responsible for a disastrous foreign policy.